Well, Merry Christmas, everyone. I'm so excited to see everyone here today on the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Let's stand together and let's just join in together and sing some Christmas songs.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen, amen, amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord on Christmas morning. Would you just go to the Lord in prayer, to the Lord in prayer this morning with me? Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this Christmas morning, the morning in which we celebrate your birth. And Lord, we pray right now that aside from all the gifts and all the decorations and everything else, that in these moments that we would just focus and dedicate this time unto you. Lord, we thank you for this time in your house. We thank you for this time of worship and friendship and encouragement and your word. And may, Lord, your name be lifted on high. Lord, we praise you and we thank you today that this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice in it. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Would you turn and greet someone this morning? Tell them, Merry Christmas. Amen, amen. Man, it's good to be here. Good to be with you guys. And how many of you got a fresh cookie this morning, huh? Cookies and milk? Let's go. Nothing better than some warm cookies to celebrate Christmas. And somebody was telling me before service that you can take coal, you know, and just heat it and use it kind of like charcoal, you know, it's the whole charcoal thing. And so I'm going to be cooking for a long time. I got a whole supply of coal for Christmas, and so it's going to be awesome for New Year's. I'm just going to have to cook something. Anyway, well, I hope that you all, if you haven't already, you get what you wanted for Christmas. I know what I got, what I wanted, which is just for our family to be together and to have health and to be in the house of the Lord. And want to just say thank you to all of you who are made it out today. I know. Thanks for making this a part of your Christmas day. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I want to say a special welcome to you. There's a card in the seat back in front of you. If Miss Joyce didn't find you in the foyer and hand you one already, you can find it there. And if you'll fill that out and place it in the offering bag as it passes, that'll help us to know you came to visit with us. And we would really, really appreciate that. Got a few things in the bulletin. We wanted to let you know about Wednesday. This Wednesday, there is no activity. So hang out with your family. Stay warm, although I think it's going to get warmer, so that helps. But this Wednesday, we will not have any activities here at the church. And then we will see you on New Year's next Sunday for a Sunday morning AM service. There'll be no Sunday school, but we'll have our regular 10:30 AM service, and we'd love for you to come be a part of that and join with us there. So if you show up on Wednesday, you're gonna be really disappointed because there's not going to be anybody here. And then on New Year's Day, we kind of have a tradition. Not always do we do this, but most years, Pastor challenges us to do the 21-day fast beginning. This year, it kind of starts January 1st is a Sunday, so it kind of worked perfect. And so we would encourage you just to start off the new year with us in a positive way. And fast and pray that the Lord would make this year the best year, not only in our church's life, but in your own life. And if you're wanting to see some things move this year, maybe in your family or your finances or something else, or just in our church body, this is the perfect way to make that happen. And so we challenge you to set aside something and fast and join with us. And we'll be doing that January 1st through the 21st. And then coming right off of our fast, January 22nd and 23rd, we'll have evangelist Lynn Wheeler here sharing with us. And so lots of great things coming up. Going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. We appreciate our ushers and all of them that come and help us with the tithe and offering. As they come, let me just make one more announcement for the youth, which is that we do our New Year's Eve lock-in. This year it's 1 p.m. to 1 a.m., so it'll start on the 31st at 1. Actually, you'll need to be here at noon. I'm sorry, you'll have to be here at noon. And then we're going to go see a movie, go ice skating. We're going to the Thunder game, pizza, a cereal bar. If you never had a cereal bar, and I'm not talking about a little bar you eat. I'm talking about a whole buffet of cereal. That's what I'm talking about. Then you haven't lived. And so you can still sign up. We've still got about 5 spots to go. And 6 churches going together. I've got 5 other churches that have joined with us. 145 people. So pray for me on that day. Yeah. Yeah, you haven't lived till you've taken 145 kids to the Thunder games. So, yeah. Uh-huh. And where are you going? I'm going to get nachos. Not by yourself, you're not. So, and so anyway, you can come see me. The signups are in the back. Also, some medical release forms and all that, permission slips. So that's it. All right, let's pray with the tithe and offering. Lord, we thank you today that this is the day that you have made, and we praise you and thank you for the tithe and for the offering. Once the offering bags pass, we're going to go back into worship.
Mercy mild, God and sinners rest.
Christmas, and around Christmas, I start listening to Christmas music. How many of you do that? When it gets throughout in December, you start listening to them, right? And this year, I really just took a minute to start listening to what the words are. We sing them every Christmas, and sometimes we just sing the words, and we don't actually listen and think about what it's saying. So today, as we sing these last two Christmas songs, I just ask that you listen to what the words say. And just let it impact you to understand that we had our blessed Savior that came and was born in a manger for me and for you.
And the soul felt his word. Thank you, Lord, for that night divine. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our world, being born to be our Savior. Lord, we just rejoice in you today on this Christmas day. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the many things that you do for us on a daily basis and for what you have accomplished for us forever in heaven. Father, we just pray that you would minister to those who are still battling sickness, Lord. We pray for whoever was in need this morning in the Boggs' edition where the ambulance showed up. I just pray whatever that situation is, Lord, that you minister. We pray for Edna Hines' son whose house burned yesterday and lost everything. We pray that you would just be with Edna's son, Freddie. Lord, we just pray you continue to be with Debbie Rowland, that you would just bring healing and help to her. Continue to touch Jordan Boydston as he recovers from these broken ribs from a car wreck. And Lord, so many others. Larry Newell, Lord, we just lift these needs to you today. We pray, God, that you would just speak to us in this service this morning. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see all of you here this morning on this Christmas Sunday and so many family members that we don't always get to see on a regular basis. Welcome to you. Thank you for being here. You all have changed. I have not. So, oh, it's amazing how fast time goes by, isn't it? You just blink of an eye, and then everything is just so much older. But I'm glad the gift of God's Son never grows old. The Christmas story never gets old. It's always fresh and new and exciting. And a day that we will forever, forever celebrate. And we're just so thankful that God loved us that much. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans. Kind of an unusual scripture text for this Christmas Sunday. But I believe that it will speak to us today. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, I'm going to read starting at verse 15 through verse 17. And then read one verse out of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin. And by the way, as I read these verses, notice how often the word gift is mentioned. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his what? His gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And then Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and for this message this morning. I just pray that all of us would listen not only with our ears, but with our minds and mostly with our hearts. I pray that you would just touch lives today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is The Gift. The Gift. Anybody here like to receive gifts? I'll pray for the rest of you who are lying. Anybody here like to give gifts? Yes. Giving and receiving gifts is both fun. We like to receive gifts. We do. I remember it wasn't a Christmas gift, but one of my most memorable gifts as a child was when I was 11 years old. My brother and I were staying at my grandparents' house while my parents was in Oklahoma City getting some supplies for a house they were building that we moved in on 2 days before Christmas. So 50 years ago this happened. But in that summer of 1972, my brother and I had been dreaming and praying to God for a mini bike. We dreamed mini bikes. We looked at mini bikes. We drug our dad down to the Honda place to look at mini bikes, all to always walk out of the store empty-handed and say, well, one of these days. But the day came, I don't even know what day it was, July, August of 1972. We came around the corner at my grandparents' house when my parents arrived, and all we saw in the back of the car was the trunk lid tied down and a couple of knobby tires sticking out. And we yelled, mini bikes! And we ran around there, and there was two identical mini bikes that had our name on it. And boy, that was, we were all crying, weren't we, Dad? Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa, and we was just rejoicing that we got mini bikes. So as far as a child gift, that was probably one of the best gifts of all outside, of course, of Jesus Christ coming and being our Savior. But that was a memorable day. And I know you all have stories where you remember getting a gift or a present or giving a gift or a present. Yet no gift can compare to the gift God gave the world, his only begotten Son. John 3:16, you all know it well. For God so loved the world, say it with me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I want us to look more closely at this gift today, the gift of God's Son. And I've made an acrostic to help us to fully appreciate this gift. And so here it is. Gift. G stands for God's. I stands for invitation. F stands for for. And T stands for transformation. God's invitation for transformation is the message today. First of all, the G, God's. It all started by God. God initiated this whole thing we call Christmas, salvation, the Word of God, the Bible, church, the family of God, worship. God started it all. Why? Because he loved mankind. He loved his creation. He reached out to man, and that's Christianity. Religion is man trying to reach up to God. Christianity is God reaching down to man. Revelation 13:8 says, "The Lamb who was slain before the creation of the world." God had a plan to save man long before the world was created because God knew in his foreknowledge that man would sin. God displayed this truth even in the Garden of Eden after man sinned, when he went looking for Adam and Eve who were hiding because of their disobedience. They had disobeyed God. They had ate of the fruit and they were hiding. And Genesis 3:9 says, "Then the Lord called to the man, 'Where are you?'" Now, how many of you know God knew right where they were? God knew exactly which bush they were hiding behind. But God wanted them to know that he had not given up on them. God wanted them to know that even though he knew where they were, he wanted them to know where his heart was, and that he was reaching out to them even in their sin. Aren't you glad we serve a God that reaches out to us even in our sin? Even when we're not walking with him and talking with him and maybe living like we should, God continues to reach out to us because God is initiating a relationship with us. The hallmark of Christianity is something that no other belief or no other religion can claim. Not one other religion in the world can claim what I'm about to tell you. And that is that God himself became the sacrifice to satisfy the perfect justice of God. God himself became a baby. God became a man. God loved us so much that he became a man. We call it the incarnation. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, that's a divine Trinity. We can't quite understand all of that, exactly how it works. But God became the sacrifice. God himself that needed to have the justice satisfied of the judgment of sin became the Lamb of God himself. Verse 14 says, "So the Word became human." God became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So God became one of us. God became the Lamb that would satisfy the judgment on sin. All throughout the Old Testament, lambs were offered and they were used to purify the people as they were slaughtered in symbolic payment for sin. That is, and until the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God came and shed his blood to become the one and only Lamb that would ever be needed. Once and for all, Jesus, the Lamb of God, paid the price for our redemption. God, the Lamb, was the greatest gift of all. He paid it all. Can you say amen? Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 go on to explain this a little more. It says, "You must have the same attitude that Jesus Christ did. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of who? Who? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth." One of these days, old Satan is going to have to bow his bony knee to the Lord. "And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." God came down so we could go up. God became obedient to death so that we could find life and life everlasting. What began in obscurity in a Bethlehem village crescendoed into a public cruel death on a cross on Calvary and then to an empty garden tomb 3 days later. All in God's mind, all in God's plan to deliver the greatest gift of all. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Amen. God came down for his people so his people could come up to where he is forever and ever and ever. So it started with God. Number two, we think of the word invitation. You ever gotten an invitation to go somewhere? God invites everyone to come and be his people. God wants everybody to be his people. But he never forces. He never pushes. He never manipulates. He simply invites. However, the Lord can be pretty persistent. Aren't you glad for the Lord's persistence? Some people call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven. Only because he knows it will be the best invitation you ever accept. I think Saul on the Damascus Road would say that the Lord was pretty persistent. when he knocked him off his high horse and blinded him. And then, you know, Saul still had the decision to make whether to follow. He could have said, I can't believe you did that, God. I'll never serve you. I'm going to continue to persecute you and all the people who say they love you. But Saul's heart was melted. God touched his heart, and we know that he became Paul the Apostle. Never worry that somebody is unreachable. Never worry that there's somebody too far gone or there's a situation too bad that God can't take care of. Because he never gives up. He gives that invitation. I want to tell you something. There is no soul in heaven today that regrets ever coming to the Lord. There's not one person in heaven who has died, who loved the Lord, that's up there saying, man, what a mistake. I can't believe that I believed all this garbage about heaven. I can't believe I believed in Jesus and all that stuff I heard the preacher say. I just can't believe I did that. What a mistake. There's not one person up there saying that. But there's a whole ton of people in hell that regret their decision. There's a whole ton of souls in hell saying, man, what an idiot. What an idiot I am. I missed out. I'm missing out on God's plan for life and health and healing for eternity. Instead, I'm here in this place of misery. The moment someone dies without Christ, they regret that deeply and eternally. Recently, two rather famous names passed away this last week who neither one claimed Christianity. Actress Kirstie Alley claimed to be of the Scientology religion, and Coach Mike Leach of the Mormon religion. I in no way want to speak unkindly or harshly, but the Bible says that Christ is the only way to the Father. Regardless of how good and great and awesome a person is, I want to tell you, being good doesn't get you to heaven. Being great, being a well-known actress, being a legendary, well-known football coach who's kind and nice to everybody doesn't get you to heaven. I pray that somehow, maybe before Coach Leach and Kirstie Alley passed away, that maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to their heart because, you know, you can be saved in a moment. Maybe something they heard or said down through the years came back to their heart because the Holy Spirit never gives up. I pray that the Lord, as the Lord says, he is not willing that any, what, perish, but that all would come to eternal life. So whether you are a famous personality, or even if nobody even hardly knows your name, there is only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. His invitation to receive the gift of salvation is for whosoever, but it must be accepted. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, look or behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. He didn't say, I stand at the door and I kick it down like Walker, Texas Ranger. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if you hear my voice, you'll hear my voice. I'll speak to your heart, and you come and you invite me in. I will come in, and we'll have fellowship together. We'll live life together. We'll be happy together, as the turtles used to sing. Some of you that are older will get that. Imagine me and you. I don't know why I did that. I think about you day and night. Now I got that song on my head. That song is going to be in my head all Christmas day. Yours too now. I hope not. But the Holy Spirit, Jesus, God, the whole Trinity knocks and speaks to people. It speaks to the believer and speaks to the unbelievers to come and follow him. He speaks to the believer to be a witness. And he speaks to the unbeliever to believe. Because as a believer, through your prayers and your witness and your words and your actions and your love, God knocks on people's hearts. The Holy Spirit uses believers to deliver his invitations all around the world. All on your job, the Holy Spirit uses you to deliver invitations that the Lord loves them and wants them to receive his gift. How well we do that is crucial to the eternal destinies of people all around the world. Let me ask you, aren't you glad someone was faithful and obedient to deliver the invitation to you? Remember when that person invited you to church? Remember when that person told you about the Lord? Maybe that Sunday school teacher, maybe that next door neighbor, maybe that pastor came to your room or came to your house. Maybe that friend who lived next door kept after you to come to church, come to church. There's many and varied ways that the Lord reaches to people and they deliver the invitations to receive his gift. Well, we must continue to do that. We must continue to be faithful to deliver the invitation to receive Christ because it changes lives. It changes families. It changes circumstances. It changes eternities. And you can never know exactly what the Lord will do with the invitation you as a believer send out. You may never know what your love and what your words mean to someone maybe that you witness to or that you show God's love to. Because you can count the seeds in an apple, but you can't count the apples in a seed. You just don't know how far and how reaching your witness will go as a believer. As some of you are here are teachers, you don't know your witness for Christ, though you're somewhat limited in what you can say in a public school environment, regrettably. Your witness and your love shines through, and you don't know what God will do in the hearts of those students that you are ministering to on a daily basis. And that's just one profession. All of us have ways that we minister. And if you're the unbeliever, you don't know what God has in store for you when you accept his invitation to follow him. You don't know what's going to happen, what God can do when you come to him. And that leads to my last point, God's invitation. I've combined the last two, F and T, for transformation. For transformation. God's invitation for transformation is the greatest gift of all. When we accept God's invitation to come to him, repent of our sin, and receive his forgiveness, he comes in and we are transformed, or what the Bible calls being born again. Very simple process. We come to the Lord and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me, Lord. I confess you as Lord and Savior. I repent. I want to receive your gift of salvation. And God says, by all means, come on in. And he begins a transformation. Like a tadpole becoming a bullfrog and like a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, you are changed from the inside out. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. The old things are passed away. The old way of thinking, the old way of living, the old way of doing things is different because now the Holy Spirit lives inside. It's his gift of salvation. He begins to work in us. We are made new on the inside. We are set free from the chains of sin. The Holy Spirit is now alive in us, and we are no longer spiritually dead. We are made alive. And the Lord begins working in us to set up and clean house of all the old ways of living and thinking. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Our job is to catch fish. It's the Holy Spirit's job to clean them. Whatever needs changes, let the Holy Spirit work. He vacuums up the fear and doubt. He dusts away the selfishness. He scrubs away the places of darkness. He polishes the places of light. He fills in the cracks and replaces the filters of your life. He does a complete makeover that HGTV can only dream about in your life. And he continues working in you and on you and through you until he completes the project on the day that you graduate and you go to heaven. You walk through those gates and he says, well done, and he moves your little tassel to the other side. You have now graduated. Then you get a new body. Like a tadpole gets a new body and becomes a frog, and a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. God begins on the inside, and we get to heaven. All of a sudden, the outside is transformed, and we have a body that'll never be sick, never be sad, never be sorrowful. We'll live forever, and we'll be perfect forever. What began on the inside in your heart eventually works out and your body is changed too. Yet you will be known as you're known, the Bible says. When we get to heaven, I don't exactly know what we'll look like. I don't know what my heavenly body will look like. I hope it's better than this one. But you'll know me. There's Pastor Steve. I'll say, oh, there's Pastor Phil. Amazingly, he made it. No. Hey, let me ask you this. He gets me from up here jabs more than I get him, doesn't he? He sure does. I can't ever catch up. And I hope I see every one of you there too. And every one of you watching by video, I hope you're all there. Don't want anybody to be gone. We're so-and-so. In conclusion, let me pick up reading where I left off in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 18 down through chapter 6, verse 2. Just listen to this. We're talking about the word gift. And all of this is a gift from God. A gift. We can't earn it. We can't deserve it. All that I've talked about can't be earned or deserved. It's a gift. Has to be. Who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead. Notice it doesn't say when we say, but when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. All of us should be thankful for the gift of God. And once we have received this gift of being reconciled to God, we are called to reach out to others and plead, come back to God. Come to God. We are God's partners. If you're a believer, you're a partner of God, declaring to this world, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to receive the gift of God. Now is the time. In closing, let me ask you a question. Have you believed and received? Have you accepted this gift for transformation? And if you are a believer, are you spreading God's invitations to receive this perfect gift? Father, I come to you today and I thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life, for the gift of Jesus, for the gift of salvation. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that is not ready, that has not received this gift, that right now in this moment, at this precise time on this day, they would say in their heart, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, forgive me. Lord, I repent of doing things my way. I give my heart to you today. Begin to change me. Begin to move in my life. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I want to serve you from this day forward. Be my Savior. Be born in me today, as the song the team led earlier. Be born in us today. And Lord, as believers, help us to be faithful to share the good news by word and by action and by attitude and by whatever way we can. Right now, would you just bow your heads with me? And if you're here today, you don't know Christ as Savior, I'm not going to ask you to get out and come forward, but I'm going to ask you to just raise your hand and say, that's me, and I want to be a believer today. Anyone here today, you just by raising your hand, say, I need to receive Christ. My act of faith right now is my hand is being raised to say, I accept Jesus right now. Lord, you know all the hearts of everyone here. And we thank you, Jesus, for coming to our world. And Lord, I just pray right now that you would help us all to draw closer to you. Whether we're a believer or whether we've yet to receive, continue to be reaching out to us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me this morning? Praise God. I'm asked Pastor Phil if he would come and dismiss us in prayer. Merry Christmas to all of you. Thank you for being here today.
Amen. What a great message. What a great message. May we never, ever, ever forget the reason for the season. It's not about the gifts under the tree. It's about the gift that Jesus, that was given through Jesus when he came on this earth as a baby. And he would die on a cross so that we would not have to die for our sins, but may have eternal life. Lord, we thank you for this day, Christmas, where we can honor you. We lift up your name. And may we always point people back to the manger and to the cross. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done in our lives. We thank you for the gifts that you continually give us, not once a year, but throughout the year. Lord, the times when you meet us in our lonely moments, the times that you free us in those moments when we seem so bound. Lord, those times when we've been at the dead ends, but you have created a way. Lord, the times when you filled our hearts with love. Lord, you filled our hearts with peace and with patience, with kindness and joy. Lord, may you continue to fill us with your fruits. We praise you and we thank you this day. May we honor you with all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. High five somebody, hug somebody, and tell them, hey, have a wonderful Merry Christmas.